Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today's session is less about searching for that golden ticket and much more about capital preservation. We are focused entirely on providing you with an ironclad defense, a truly professional framework for your capital in the world of DeFi perpetual trading. The power and the incredible flexibility of decentralized finance and leverage is intoxicating, but that freedom comes with massive non-negotiable risks. We've looked through the source material you shared, and our mission today is simple. We are cutting through the guesswork to build you a structured, calculated system. We're going to walk you through how to build a complete risk management system, from setting your personal boundaries to having an emergency response plan ready when volatility strikes.
That structure is just so vital because, frankly, the statistics are brutal. Studies consistently show that, 70% to 90% of retail traders lose money. And as our sources confirm, the reason for failure is rarely a bad idea. It's almost always poor, non-existent, or, highly emotional risk management.
So it's not the what, it's the how.
Exactly. Building this robust framework is the only difference between generating sustainable compounding growth and suffering those catastrophic account-wiping losses that sideline so many people. Okay, let's unpack this. By first examining the biggest, most common ways capital just gets destroyed, we have to start with the three most destructive mistakes to underscore precisely why a discipline framework is mandatory, not optional. So the first mistake is funding rate neglect. The error is this psychological bias of thinking, oh, it's only 0.001% per hour. That's just noise.
That is the natural reaction. I mean, it seems mathematically insignificant, right?
Right.
Especially if you're only holding the position for a day or two.
It's the silent killer. Here's the shocking math from the sources. 0.01% per hour compounded annually is already 87.6% APR.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, consider a scenario where the market is extremely biased and that funding rate spikes to just 0.2% per hour. If you are on 10x leverage, that single rate costs you 4.8% of your notional position value per day.
Okay, stop there. So if I have a $10,000 position on, say, $1,000 in margin.
Yeah, exactly. That 4.8% daily cost eats $480 in one day. That's a 48% loss of your margin per day, even if the price of the asset never moves an inch.
So I haven't lost a cent to the market, but half my margin is just gone.
Gone. In 24 hours. Think about that. That is capital erosion at a terrifying speed.
48% in one day, just for standing still. That fact alone is worth the price of admission. So if I'm slightly in the red, that relentless funding rate is what actually wipes me out, not the market movement.
In high leverage positions, absolutely. It's a constant drain. The solution we've distilled from the sources is that you must always check the annualized funding rate before entry. If it's over 50% APR, that is a massive red flag.
A sign of extreme pressure in one direction.
Right. You need to fundamentally reconsider the trade or simply choose a spot position instead. Okay. Mistake number two is misunderstanding liquidation buffers. Most people assume 10x leverage means they are safe until the price drops a full 10%.
That feels like the simple logic, doesn't it? A 10% loss times 10x leverage equals a 100% loss of your collateral. Simple.
It's intuitive, but it's dangerously wrong. Liquidation always occurs sooner, often around the 9% or 9.5% drop, because you have to satisfy the protocol's maintenance margin requirement.
The fine print.
The fine print that gets you. It might be 5% of your position value. The moment your equity drops below that maintenance margin, the protocol closes you out, period. You absolutely must use the protocol's calculator to find the exact liquidation price. The non-negotiable rule here is you must maintain a strict 20 to 30% safety buffer above that calculated liquidation price.
We'll come back to how to manage that buffer later, I'm sure.
We will. And finally, mistake number three, cross-margin contagion. This happens when traders use cross-margin because it's convenient.
I see it all the time.
Especially when they are trading assets that are highly correlated. Say, longing ETH and longing a mid-cap altcoin whose price movement is basically tied to ETH.
But wouldn't using cross-margin let me utilize my capital better across all my positions? What's the real-world trade-off of giving up that convenience?
The convenience is a mirage of efficiency. The trade-off is systemic risk within your own account. If both correlated assets drop simultaneously, that combined drawdown can rapidly drain your entire available account equity.
And then?
And then it triggers a complete liquidation of all positions at once. You lose your ETH long and your altcoin long.
A total wipeout.
Total. The best practice is to use isolated margin for volatile positions or when you are testing a new strategy. Reserve cross margin only for genuine, sophisticated hedging strategies where your positions are negatively correlated.
That shows us exactly what happens when you don't have boundaries. So If those initial mistakes highlight the chaos, then the next logical step has to be setting the boundaries, defining the limits before any action is taken. Here's where it gets really interesting. The foundational step is the risk tolerance assessment. You have to be brutally honest with yourself. Are you conservative, moderate, or aggressive? Once you define your profile and your total trading capital, you define the core parameters that act as your insurance policy.
And the most important numbers you need to internalize come straight from your source material. The recommended maximum risk per trade should be between 1% and 5% of your total trading capital.
Okay, 1% to 5%.
That's the most capital you are ever willing to lose on a single idea. And on top of that, your recommended maximum portfolio risk, so the combined potential loss of all open trades, should be less than 10% of your total capital.
That 1% 5% rule is the bedrock, right? It ensures no single trade can possibly wipe you out, making it so much easier to recover from the inevitable losses.
Precisely. And alongside those limits, you need to define your capital allocation with clear intent. You need specific buckets.
Like what?
Well, you have your trading capital for active leveraged positions, an emergency reserve, which acts as a safety buffer for margin calls, maybe some arbitrage capital for lower risk strategies, and perhaps LP capital for liquidity provision.
I get it to justify it.
You need a clear written rationale for why you split your money that way. It prevents you from just, you know, throwing everything into a single high leverage trade on a whim. This leads directly to defining the hard loss limits, which are your non-negotiable mental protection.
The circuit breakers.
Exactly. If you fail to set these percentages before trading, emotion will take the wheel when the market gets ugly. You have to set specific dollar amounts and percentages for your daily, weekly, and monthly loss limits.
So let's talk about that hard stop.
Yeah.
What happens when those predetermined limits, the dollar amount or the percentage, are actually hit?
That is the essential psychological protection. You must define the immediate mandatory action if any of these limits are hit. The action has to be immediate.
No hesitation.
None. Close all open positions, take a mandatory break, whether it's one day, one week, or just an hour away from the screen. The point is to remove your ability to make reactive, bad decisions when you are psychologically stressed and losing money.
Once those hard boundaries are set, we can move on to the position sizing toolkit. This connects your 1% to 5% risk limit directly to the actual size of the trade you open. This is where we go from theory to tangible math. So this calculation links your maximum allowed dollar risk to the distance between your entry price and your preset stop loss. Let's walk through the example from the sources slowly, because this is crucial.
Okay. Let's assume you have $10,000 in capital and you decide you are a moderate trader, so you're adhering to a 2% risk per trade.
Right.
That means your maximum allowed dollar loss on any single trade is $200.
Okay. $200 is my red line. Now, I find a trade setup, and based on some technical analysis, I decide my stop loss needs to be 4% away from my entry price to be safe from market noise.
Correct. The formula then dictates your position size. You take your $200 risk and you divide it by 0.04, or that 4% stop loss distance. The resulting position size must be $5,000.
So wait, even if I have $10,000 in my account, my framework only permits me to open a $5,000 position on that specific trade.
Exactly. This mathematical calculation forces the leverage to be appropriate for the stop loss placement rather than the other way around.
Which is the mistake so many people make. Sure. They pick 10x leverage arbitrarily and then try to fit a stop loss that often ends up way too tight.
Precisely. And your leverage guidelines must be tiered based on volatility. You set one maximum leverage for blue chips like BTC and ETH, a significantly lower maximum for mid-caps, and the lowest possible for volatile new tokens or, you know, meme coins.
That makes sense.
And this brings us to the stop-loss framework. This is mandatory. It should prevent you from making that second critical mistake we discussed. Rule 1, you must always set the stop-loss before opening the position. Rule 2, and this is non-negotiable for avoiding catastrophic losses, you must never, ever move the stop loss against your position to avoid getting stopped out.
That's just hoping, right? Not trading. It's the emotional slippery slope we're trying to avoid.
It is the exact moment you abandon your framework. Third, your stop loss should always be placed at a logical technical level, so below support for a long or above resistance for a short.
And the final check.
You must verify that the location of that stop loss maintains that critical 20 to 30% safety buffer from the liquidation price we established earlier. Mm. If the stop loss is 1% away from liquidation, it's not a stop loss, it's a prayer.
With those limits and sizing rules in place, let's move into the live trade. Section 4 is about constant vigilance. how do you know when to intervene and actively manage that safety buffer? Let's put the 20-30% buffer into real-time action. Imagine your entry was $2,500 and the liquidation price is $2,000. If the current price drops to $2,400, your buffer is now only $400.
Which is 16.7% of the current price.
Right, so why is that 16.7% a disaster, even though it's still $400 away from liquidation?
Because that 20 to 30% is your cushion against market wicks and unexpected volatility spikes. When you drop below 20%, you are now exposed to systemic risk factors, like a quick Oracle update or a sudden surge in liquidations, which can hit the market price really, really quickly.
So that 16.7% requires immediate calculated action, not an emotional reaction.
Exactly. And this requires defining your margin management protocols. You need to predefine the circumstances when you will add margin.
Which should be right.
It should only be if you are still highly confident in the trade idea and want to push the liquidation price further away. Conversely, you must define when you will reduce the position size via a partial close. That frees up margin and increases the safety buffer without committing new capital.
Both actions achieve the same goal, improving the buffer, but they use different resources.
Correct.
This preparation is essentially phase four, the emergency response plan. You can't wait until you're stressed to make these critical choices.
Absolutely. Think of this as the pilot's checklist when the engine starts sputtering. Scenario one, approaching liquidation. If your buffer drops to that dangerous level, your predefined response must be rigid. Is it to close the position immediately? Is it to reduce the position size by 50%? Your reasoning has to be clear and non-emotional.
What's scenario two?
Scenario two, funding rate spikes. We saw the danger of high rates. If the rate jumps from a safe 0.01% per hour to a dangerous 0.08%, an 8x increase, what is your immediate threshold for action?
You need a number.
You must define your maximum acceptable rate. Maybe it's 0.05% per hour or that 50% APR annual limit. The moment it is breached, you close or substantially reduce the position because the cost of holding is now outweighing the potential gain.
And the last one.
Scenario three, protocol issue. DeFi has smart contract risk. If the protocol announces a potential exploit, a bug, or a halt in operations, your immediate plan must be to close all positions instantly, transfer your collateral off the platform, and wait.
Now we have to look outward and protect against those macro threats. I mean, we can manage our individual trades perfectly, but systemic risk can still wipe us out.
That's right. We have to protect against risks inherent to the decentralized landscape, starting with Oracle risk.
Yes, sir.
If a protocol relies on external oracles for price feeds, you must monitor that feed. Slow updates can lead to stale prices, creating massive arbitrage risk. And high volatility price wicks that only appear on-chain can cause unfair, unexpected liquidations.
So that 20-30% buffer helps protect you from those sudden wicks.
It's your shock absorber. It's like relying on a newspaper delivered once a day when you need stock market data every minute.
And bridge risk. We see bridge failures far too often, serving as massive attack vectors for the entire ecosystem.
The recommendation here is simple but essential. Minimize your exposure, only bridge what you need when you need it, and monitor bridge security news closely.
And finally, smart contract risk. This is the bedrock of DeFi trust.
Your diligence checklist for any protocol should be rigorous. It must include multiple independent audits, an active bug bounty program, and an established funded insurance mechanism.
What's the biggest red flag?
A major red flag, according to the sources, is seeing protocols you plan to use for substantial capital marked as having an audit in progress. You should only use battle-tested, time-proven platforms.
Okay, so to bring this all together, you need clear, defined portfolio health monitoring metrics. You can't just rely on your feelings. You need numbers. Two key metrics stand out. First, you have to track the portfolio health factor.
Right. The health factor is typically a ratio of the value of your collateral to your total debt obligation or required margin. You should target a factor greater than 2.0.
Meaning your collateral is double your debt.
Exactly. Anything below 1.5 is getting into danger territory. You also monitor the margin ratio, targeting above 20% equity to avoid quick liquidation, and flagging danger below 10%.
But the crucial metric for anyone running multiple positions is correlation exposure. If you're running multiple trades, you need to know how much they move together.
So important. Your target correlation between open positions should be less than 0.7. If the correlation is high, say above 0.9, your contagion risk is severely elevated.
It's that cross-margin problem again.
It is. If BTC drops, all your altcoin longs will move with it, and they will likely all liquidate together. You've aggregated risk rather than diversified it.
This entire deep dive really culminates in the pre-trade checklist, doesn't it? It's the final summary before you hit the open button. You have to verify these 6 points for every single position. One, is the funding rate verified and below your annualized limit?
Two, is the precise liquidation price calculated using the protocol's tools?
Three, is the 20 to 30% safety buffer verified?
Four, is the hard stop loss set at a technical level?
Five, is the position size and leverage appropriate based on the 1 to 5% risk rule?
And finally, six, is the margin mode set, typically isolated margin for volatile positions? We have meticulously covered the critical mistakes that lead to failure, set the hard boundaries for sustainability via the 1 to 5% rule, defined the precise sizing formula, detailed the mandatory stop-loss rules, and prepared for both position-specific and systemic threats like Oracle risk.
So what does this all mean at the end of the day?
The crucial takeaway is that the difference between generating sustainable capital growth and joining that 90% failure rate is rarely superior market prediction. It is almost always superior adherence to a structured, disciplined risk management framework. If you ignore these boundaries, the market will enforce them on you through liquidation, but at a far, far greater cost than if you enforce them yourself.
Now that you have designed this comprehensive risk framework, including hard loss limits, mandatory stop loss rules, and emergency plans, the crucial next step is adherence and testing. If your self-assessment of this framework's completeness is below perfect, you must review the missing areas, practice extensively with paper trading, and start with the smallest possible positions before ever committing substantial capital. Remember, structure and discipline are not just helpful tools. They are your greatest, most powerful edge in leveraged trading. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.